Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News, the most hard-hitting show on television today. I'm your host, Rob Doohan. Today's date is Monday, August 20th, 2012, and here's a look at what we have coming up tonight.
Tonight, DHS documents show that Big Sis is spying on InfoWars. Federal agency tracked InfoWars stories and user comments. Then, according to the newly released documents by the John F. Kennedy Library, a U.S. senator suggested a false flag attack to Kennedy 2 years prior to Operation Northwoods. Plus, the FBI ramps up its propaganda campaign by declaring extremists who oppose the government are a domestic terror threat and a danger to law enforcement. All that plus Joel Gilbert, the director of Dreams from My Real Father, exposes the real Barack Hussein Obama. That's up next, InfoWars Nightly News.
Do you remember last week when we were talking about George Soros and taking his investments and basically cashing out of the stock market for the most part and buying into gold? Well, now we're going to show you another globalist minion, or I guess globalist leader out there, Lord Jacob Rothschild. And here's that. This is Paul Joseph Watson at InfoWars.com. Lord Rothschild betting on euro collapse. Banking titan places $200 million short against single currency. If the actions of Lord Jacob Rothschild are anything to go by, the long-predicted collapse of the euro may not be far away, with the banking titan placing a $200 million bet against the troubled currency. Lord Rothschild, an elder member of the dynastic Rothschild banking family, has taken the position against the euro through RIT Capital Partners, the £1.9 billion investment trust, which he is executive chairman of, and that's out of CNBC. So what does this tell you? The big guys are getting out. They've ridden the bubble up. They're getting out before the bubble bursts. They're going to wait for it to crash, and then they will get back in when it's down low after everybody else has lost everything, and then they'll go around buying up everything for pennies on the dollar. That's how the scam works. And you're not part of it. You don't have the insider information. You're not making currencies collapse out there, so that you don't know about it, and neither do your investment bankers. So take that to heart. It's coming. I told one of my friends this weekend, I told him about Soros getting into gold, and he goes, well, it's serious now. I said, yeah, obviously, it's serious. Moving on. This is at InfoWars.com from Jurian Masson. Senator suggested false flag attack to Kennedy 2 years prior to Northwood's proposal. And this is California Democratic Senator George Smathers proposed an Operation Northwood-style false flag attack on Gitmo to then-Massachusetts Senator Kennedy, The Guardian reports. And it goes down here to a quote. I did talk to him about a plan of having a false flag attack on Guantanamo Bay, which would give us an excuse to actually foment a fight, which would then give us an excuse to go in and do the job. He asked me to write him something about it, and I think I did. And here's a little outline of what they came up with. Start rumors using clandestine radio. Have land-friendly Cubans in uniform over the fence to stage attack on the base. Capture Cuban-friendly saboteurs inside the base. Start riots near the main base, friendly Cubans. Blow up ammunition inside the base to start fires. Burn aircraft on the airbase, that's sabotage. Lob mortar shells from outside of the base into base, some damage to installations. Capture assault teams approaching from the CR vicinity of Guantanamo City. Capture a militia group which storms the base. Sabotage ships in the harbor with large fires, or sink ship near the harbor entrance, and conduct funerals for mock victims. And this is the playbook we've seen countless areas, and just recently in North Africa, showing some of those fake funerals where the guy starts laughing after he's supposedly being buried. And what does this tell you? It tells you that false flag attack is part of the modus operandi of the United States government. And it's on all branches. It just happens to be there's certain peoples who conduct into it, and those rogue groups are out there, and they do things like this. It's not out of the ordinary. In fact, it is par for the course. So remember that next time there's another stage shooting. Moving on to another stage event, which I railed upon last week, and I'm going to continue railing on it until the Mail Online stops posting that picture. Exclusive. Out of the Mail Online, Obama canceled mission to kill bin Laden 3 times after getting cold feet until Hillary stepped in, claims explosive new book. And the new book is titled, Leading from Behind, which you can take what you will from that. It's got a lot of different connotations to it, especially there's rumors out there of, you know, our president crossing the fence several times or playing on both sides of the team. Anyway, Barack Obama canceled three operations to kill Osama bin Laden before finally going ahead with the mission at the assistance of Hillary Clinton, according to the new book. The explosive allegations contained in an expose by journalist Richard Mintier, who argued that the White House's carefully crafted narrative of Obama as a decisive leader who dispatched the al-Qaeda leader despite the doubts of advisors is a myth. And then Politico came out with another piece. We're going to go to the overhead camera on this. White House fabrication that Obama called off bin Laden raid. And so they're basically disputing these facts. So this is what you get when nobody's telling the truth. You get this muddying of waters. And then let's go back to the bin Laden raid a little bit. Special Ops Commander says book on SEAL raid that killed bin Laden is a lie. So this was last year. This is in November of last year. You had all these different special ops guys coming out saying their version of the tale was right, and then people were disputing that. And so you also had what the staged White House photo, which I'm going to go to, which they keep including in this Mail Online article right here. Staged photo. They were not watching the raid at the time because Panetta came out and said they had 20 minutes of footage where they could not see any video, or 20 minute time span where they could not see any video. But the Mail Online keeps going to this photo is here claiming it's authentic, where you don't even have Obama looking in the same location as everybody else. There's that photo. Hillary Clinton got her hand over her mouth. Everybody's looking serious. You got another general who looks like he's playing solitaire over there, not really paying attention. And so what does all this say? They're going to keep changing little bits of the story just to keep putting it out there like it's a real event. And they're just going to keep tweaking the narrative till, you know, 10 years from now, nobody's going to know what really happened. All that we know is that bin Laden's dead, yet they have no evidence that he's dead. They have no DNA evidence. They have no photographic evidence. There's no log from the boat that he was supposedly thrown off of with the burial at sea. That's not even Muslim tradition, even though the U.S. claimed it was. So it's just a quagmire story that's just going to keep, it's actually funny watching them keep throwing out different things and writing books about it to try to sell this fake narrative. Moving on to more fake narratives. FOIA documents. DHS monitored opposition to see something, say something program. And there she is. There's Janet Dungbeetle checking out InfoWars. Hundreds of pages of documents released under the Freedom of Information Act reveal that Department of Homeland Security monitored political opposition to the See Something, Say Something campaign, as well as tracking InfoWars stories and user comments on a myriad of other issues while categorizing the website as right-wing terrorism. Wow. The documents contain email communications as well as intelligence reports that circle between different offices of the Department of Homeland Security as well as the Office of Intelligence and Analysis. And in most cases, the identities of individuals both sending and receiving messages have been redacted. The report notes how InfoWars.com launched a campaign in opposition to the DHS program, which encourages citizens to report suspicious activity and basically become spies for the state to the authorities, including via television screens at Walmart, which play the message from DHS Chief Janet Dungbeetle Napolitano. And we have a couple close-ups here. One is from the NTRAC intelligence team, which says, detect, deter, defend, and we can bring that up. That's one of my graphics there. And basically, it details the V for Vendetta campaign. There it is right there. See something, say something. And there's actual screenshots from the site, InfoWars.com, you are the resistance. And that's pretty funny. And then also, they talk about, a screenshot with the front page report entitled Right Wing Terrorism. Then it goes to the Hardin, Montana story that we covered back in 2009, which also ended up being part of Police State 4, The Rise of FEMA, where you had this guy who was a convicted felon. He had many aliases. He was basically trying to go into Hardin, Montana, start a Hardin police force, and run around in his specially decaled, outfitted cars, claiming he was, you know, the law of the land, and basically house people in this prison that they weren't even using. So they use that, and it says, conspiracy theorists believe this is a new location of a FEMA camp. Well, Alex Jones, Aaron Dykes, and Rob Jacobson went on location to Hardin, Montana. They interviewed the spokesperson who refused to talk about this Michael, I forget his last name right off the top of my head, but he was out there basically putting these police decals that said Hardin Police Force on his cars. They were going around pretending they were the police force of the area, even though Hardin did not have a police department. And what were they going to do? They were going to base out of that prison, and then use it to basically just harass the local citizens. This is something we see other security guards are coming up with this motif of, we're going to act like we're the cops, we're going to dress like the cops, we're going to outfit our cars just like the cops, and people won't know the difference, and they'll just bow to anyone in uniform. So there's that story, and you can check it out. It's from Paul Joseph Watson, the title, FOIA Documents, DHS Monitored Opposition to See Something, Say Something Program. Now moving on back to Colorado, Aurora witness, alarm announced murder in the theater. And this is a really interesting video that came out of the DetroitPress.com. And basically, it has a witness who was there. Her name was Selena Jordan. She was in a neighboring theater while all this was going on. People in her theater got shot. And then she talks about this mysterious alarm she heard. So let's go to that video now.
So, like, 5 minutes after the guy comes running in and tells them that they're shooting outside, you hear the alarm go off. It said, murder in the theater. Like, it's just going off. Murder in the theater. Murder in the theater. It's crazy that they got an alarm saying that there was a murder in the theater, you know? So, like, everybody, me and my friend, we're standing there, like, clueless. Like, what should we do? Should we stay here or go out there where they're shooting? But everybody's going up to the exit, so we're like, okay, we're just gonna go to the crowd, go with the crowd. So
there you go. More stories coming out of that, which lead me to believe that they knew this was gonna happen. Why else would you have murder in theater playing over a loudspeaker? That is really creepy and really suspicious. And we came out basically from day one and said this was a false flag attack. I went on to Coast to Coast for about 3 hours a few weeks ago, and I mean, it was maybe 2 days old that this incident happened, and we were talking about it in the, you know, as it was a false flag attack. And I personally believe that it was, because if you look at all the information and all the different, you know, the second gas mask being found, James Holmes, like, giving up without a struggle, and then telling police he's got his apartment booby-trapped, him being in his DARPA connections, his father's connections, I mean, it goes all over the place. So we called it first, and we stand by that story until we're proven otherwise. Now we're going to go to a quick couple reports with Jakari Jackson, who's going to detail some Facebook news and also on our summer gas prices. Go ahead, Jakari.
All right, thanks, Rob. This is Jakari Jackson reporting for the InfoWars Nightly News. We have a story for you. Summertime blues for drivers. This story out of the Associated Press. U.S. drivers paid an average of $3.72 per gallon on Monday. That's the highest price ever on this date, according to Auto Club AAA. A shade above the $3.71 average on August 20th, 2008. So we see that in the past 4 years, with all the energy czars and energy plans and green energy and this and that, we've only managed to drop gas prices by 1 cent, and it's not even a full cent. Moving on here. A few drivers are catching a break, though. In states such as Montana, Wyoming, Utah, and Idaho, gas prices do seem to be a little bit lower, which is a good deal. But crude oil has risen above $95 a barrel from a low of $78 in late June. In the U.S., there were problems with refineries and pipelines, a major problem with the pipeline being that Obama did not want them. We know the deal with the Keystone Pipeline. Obama came to Oklahoma and commissioned, or, you know, allowed us to have the pipeline that goes from Cushing to Oklahoma to the Gulf, which, you know, is construction down there, the southern leg of it. But the, you know, northern parts above Oklahoma are largely uncommissioned or inactive. So just be aware of that. And also, there is a Gallup poll. We'll take a look at that. Americans favor the Keystone Pipeline. We see that 57% of Americans actually favor the pipeline. And we even look at Democrats, Obama's own party. We see 44% favor the pipeline, 38% are do not favor the pipeline, and about 19% are unsure. So we'll keep you up to date if anything new develops with that. Also, we'll go to our next story here. Facebook stock rebounds after dropping below $19. This story is out of the Associated Press as well. Facebook's beleaguered stock got an afternoon boost after hitting its lowest level ever earlier in the day. Facebook Inc. hit a new low of $18.75 before bouncing back to $19.86 in the afternoon trading Monday. The stock has not surpassed its $38 IPO since the first day of trading. Now, if you're going to invest in the stock, I definitely suggest that you look into it first. And if you did, you would see that many of the investors, some of the largest investors, some of the earliest investors, dropped the stock before it went public. And you'd ask, why would people so heavily invested in Facebook get out before it went public? So to that question, we have a special report from Aaron Dykes, which he actually did early in the year, but still rings true. We get a great forecast from Aaron Dykes, and we'll throw it to that now.
So the initial public offering can be a double-edged sword, and we're going to see what happens in the case of Facebook. But is it a scam? The question has at least been raised by one University of Oxford professor named Tim Jenkinson. He says the basic question you have to ask is, do you want to buy a company where all the insiders are headed for the door? So are people buying into the IPO tomorrow about to get the investment of their lives, or are they about to be taken for a ride as a key group of insiders make themselves even richer? Many of its angel investors who put the company into the big time in the earliest stages are some of the people selling off some of the biggest shares. Those include Peter Thiel, who gave the first big $500,000 investment to Facebook. He is a steering committee member of the Bilderberg Group of Elites. The other is Jim Breyer, who's part of the Excel Group. He's been linked to NQTEL, the CIA, and all kinds of intelligence firms. And he put up a very large amount of money in that second stage. We're also going to see a number of later stage investors selling off a lot of their shares, also hoping to cash in. Those groups include Goldman Sachs, Microsoft, and even U2's own Bono, whose group is trying to liquidate many of its shares. It will be an important test. How much is your information worth?
Okay, so we see that the rats are always the first ones to know that the ship is sinking. A great report from Aaron Dykes. You can catch that report on Infowars.com. It's actually titled Facebook IPO Funds NSA Data Mining. And be sure to check that out. And we'll go to our quote of the day. The use of solar energy has not been opened up because the oil industry does not own the sun. That quote from Ralph Nader. I'm Jakari Jackson with the InfoWars Nightly News. Back to you, Rob.
Thanks, Jakari. We now turn to Alex Jones, who's here in studio with us for some breaking news on the ADL's attack of basically him and InfoWars.com. Alex, what have you got to say about this?
It's a really disgusting report and quite frankly frightening, because this is one of the most sinister organizations here in the United States. It's basically a mafia organization and a foreign lobbying arm trying to overthrow free speech and basic liberty in this country, and to be the apple of their eye, I will assure you, is not fun. And I'm talking about the Anti-Defamation League. Kurt Nemo this morning had an article titled, Government and Media Turn Accused Cop Killers into Constitutional Sovereign Citizens. And there was a foggy event that happened late last week where two police officers were killed in Louisiana. And Kurt Nemo said this morning, how long until they blame it on Alex Jones? Well, little did Kurt know that the ADL had come out this morning and had already put my name in there out of the seven people that have been arrested in Louisiana. They immediately go and dig through the computers, and because the ADL has gotten in a position since 1913 when the Federal Reserve took over of brainwashing our police and giving them information.
And framing the debate.
And framing the debate. We're going to get to that in a moment. That's the key. And setting the people against the police against the people, so there can be that conflict, but they can be the good referees.
Right.
They provide the source material. Even though they've been caught breaking into police departments, they've lost lawsuits defaming people. I mean, it is a political attack dog group who then mixes good people that are just anti-tyranny in with unsavory groups like the Nazis and things. But sure enough, Paul Watson came up with the article, ADL implies Alex Jones inspiration behind Louisiana cop killings. And one of the people arrested, not for the killings, but being friends with the killers in the dragnet. One of the suspects, Terry Lynn Smith, has indicators of anti-government extremist leanings on his various social networking profiles. In particular, MySpace profile, Smith lists as their heroes people he liked to meet: Alex Jones, the Texas-based conspiracy-oriented anti-government radio talk show host. And it just goes on from there. Our article breaks down the fact that this isn't the first time this has happened. In 2009, when a Marine who got two pit bulls that were defecating and urinating on his mother's carpet, she said, that's it, you're kicked out of the house. Get rid of your pit bulls. He wouldn't get rid of him. And so he was drunk. She called the police. He shot three of them and killed them.
He ambushed them.
Now, within 2 hours of him giving himself up, it was already on the news, he did it for me.
Yeah.
It was all over the news. And the Southern Poverty Law Center later had to retract, and so did five newspapers. And the local paper that was affiliated with the ADL and Southern Poverty Law Center, the writer that kind of writes that kind of ADL Southern Poverty Law Center beat, extremism beat, had to retract the fact just because we went and found the guy's handle and found out he's like, we're going to get you, Jones. You're not for violence.
He was attacking
you. And like, you don't hate blacks and, you know, Jews or whatever. So we're going to come after you and all this stuff. So we pointed that out on all these profiles and on the white supremacist sites, and they had to back off because their lawyers, you know, said, oh, yeah, he can really get you. So here's what freaks me out. Within hours of this stuff happening then, and now within days of this coming out, the police are giving the ADL, I guess, info, you know, about this guy so they can go out and forage around. Anybody could go add stuff to these profiles, too.
Right.
I mean, who knows if any of this is even true? In the article I saw, they didn't provide links to the proof of this. So my question is, why? Why? And I want your take on this. I'm going to go through these other points here. Why am I the first person that, or this organization, who people know is not liked by white supremacist and people because I don't make it a racial issue.
Right.
I mean, I want all children to have a future. I'm against aborting little black babies.
Yeah.
That the left promotes, hey, you know, they're ugly, let's get rid of them. Well, I don't think they're ugly. But I'm not some bleeding heart fake who uses race as a weapon to beat people over the head. That's why they're scared. But I mean, give me your take on that before I get into the other points.
Well, that, and I think the Alex Jones star is rising. I mean, it's bigger than it's ever been
before. Well, it's not, man, I'm trying to get the reporters. It's about info.
It is about the info, but you are the tip of the spear. You're out there. You're the one out on the radio 3 hours a day. You know, you're on XM. You're on AM and FMs everywhere. It's growing. More people are listening. I look at the numbers on the YouTube videos. Every day they get more and more, you know, where we used to get like 5,000 or 6,000 a day or maybe 10,000 a day. Now we're up to 15,000, 20,000, 30,000 a day on just regular nightly news videos.
And our big videos get millions. And then other channels picking our stuff up are getting more views than we are, proving that they've got some type of restrictor plate on us.
Right.
Point is, tens of millions a week now.
Exactly.
And that's just one platform.
Yeah. And that's what scares them. And every time they come out and say something, we prove them wrong. We show them where their lies are. And this is going to come out. This is something
I want to challenge people to even go to the Wikipedia page on the ADL. Because it is balanced. And it gives to mainline sources. Not even alternative media, the whole history of the ADL. There is a Jewish mafia, just like there's an Italian mafia, or a Irish mafia, or a German mafia. You know, we all know about Bugsy Siegel and the rest of it, mm-hmm. Meyer Lansky. And they were getting in a lot of trouble in 1913. And so they went and created the ADL. And the ADL has been caught breaking in police departments, but in San Francisco, other areas, they've been caught saying people are anti-Semitic in business deals just as a weapon and they've lost in court. I mean, you know, the issue is that the ADL is completely out of control. And they are always lobbying for European-style hate speech laws where you get arrested if you criticize the government.
You say homosexual, you get arrested.
Yeah, just the word homosexual, which is just a scientific name.
Right.
Like homosexual, heterosexual. That Robin Page, the BBC on, who is and was a, kind of a liberal, and he just said the rural groups see the same rights as Muslims and homosexuals.
Right.
And they said the word homosexual is hurtful, you're arrested. So it's a real iron curtain of tyranny. I mean, we've seen White House regulations, our Sunstein, who's kind of affiliated with this, say, find people and then arrest them if they don't believe in global warming. Or they say 9/11 is an inside job, regardless of what you think of global warming being man-made or not, or what do you believe about inside job, prior knowledge of 9/11, that whole spectrum, knew about it, let it happen, made it happen. Still, it's First Amendment.
Right.
And you go look at the cyberbullying legislation, everything, they're pushing an agenda. And they're pushing an agenda just like what we see out of the White House shipping guns into Mexico to blame the Second Amendment. The Southern Poverty Law Center, you know, it got caught running Elohim City that McVeigh was at. Mm-hmm. When a federal informant tried to stop it, they arrested her. And this, I mean, look, let me tell you, they have this liberal covering. These are really creepy groups. I mean, when I turn the light off at night, and I want them to know this, this is a message to them. When I turn the light off at night and I've got any concern, it's you. So believe me, I know, but I don't have a bunch of chutzpah or bravado. I'm doing this out of love for humanity. I don't like messing with you. I understand I'm one of your main focuses. And I understand you can, feed police with disinfo when they do these raids on people like Sherry Pill Jackson, mm-hmm. The nice, black IRS criminal investigator where they had lasers on her head and all this. I mean, it's really creepy to know this and to know that the ADL doesn't play games.
Right. And this isn't
it's a Jewish mafia / Israeli group that's engaging in taking over our police. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, this isn't isolated. Last week we covered Think Progress coming out after you. And then
that's George Soros.
It was Southern Poverty Law Center. I mean, they just keep ramping it up. And I mean, this year, there's been at least 10, 15 attacks, probably even more. We just don't see them all.
Well, all I know is that if anything happens to me, I'm never going to commit suicide. And, they found me down on the side of the road with a bunch of Hitler novels or something. It's a setup.
Right.
That's all I can say. This amount of demonization is when they usually come after somebody. I mean, they're really building up towards it. And here's my other message, and I've said this thousands of times on the radio. The globalists want to get a civil war going in this country. They've taught the police that they will face improvised explosive devices, that the veterans and conservatives, libertarians will attack them, that those of us that believe in a new world order are delusional, and that there's no banking cartel, there's no world government. Their problem is, for the last 40 years, they said that wasn't coming when old-timers that were mainly inside government saw it and warned people. We've tried to hold it back. The old-timers tried to hold it back. Now it's all happening, and our credibility is skyrocketing, and it's dangerous to be right. In a world of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act, quote Eric Blair, a.k.a. George Orwell. In fact, we have a clip just for the ADL here. Do we have that CNBC clip right here? And I'm not going to play the whole thing. It's 5 minutes online where they all agree. We're under world government. It's international bankers. They run everything. We're their slaves. These are quotes. And hundreds of articles where they announce, I'm their slave, and they're going to tax me at basically 80% to pay offshore banks. And then, because it's a mafia. And it's a bunch of different groups. It's the Saxe Coburg Gothas, the Dutch royalty. There's Jewish mafia in there. If the Rothschilds aren't that, the Rothschilds 2 years ago sued the Daily Mail, saying they weren't kingpins running the oligarchs in Russia.
Right.
And the judge said, this trial convicted you of this.
Well, now they're betting against the euro.
Well, but exactly. But the judge said, you'd misled this court. The court proceedings, you are the kingpins.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible. I mean, I don't like going up against organized crime, but it's got to be done. And, when Italians get in trouble for organized crime, they say, don't put down Italians. Or when the Irish got in trouble for it, they say, oh, don't pick on the Irish. It is true there's been a big WASP mafia, and this kind of more of a good old boy thing, organized crime, Dixie mafia. Mm-hmm. That's real, too. But, the point is that I just want freedom. And when the Jewish mafia wants my guns now and my speech, you ain't getting it. This doesn't come from a place of bravado or chutzpah. It comes from a place of I cannot be a slave. But finishing these points here, the forces out there, basically like we're little kids, go, okay, you're the Nazis and you're the Americans, and the Nazis are the libertarians, conservatives, returning veterans, gun owners. They're the big threat, not Al-Qaeda that the government runs in Libya and Syria now, who they say are heroes at the CFR website. No. They're not the problem. Now the problem is going to, be these domestic groups. And then every time there's some event, they're going through the computers to try to find something to then connect to me so they can try to come after us. And they're telling cops everywhere, when you see a Ron Paul sticker, this is in the MIAC and Homeland Security reports that the police sent us years ago, that we know the ADL and Southern Poverty Law Center basically right. They put out the base literature, the intelligence reports. It gets regurgitated and plagiarized over and over again. And it's just a demonization playbook, like it's Nazi Germany or something. And I'm, the Jewish shopkeeper, I'm being demonized. And we get army documents about relocation camps, gun confiscation, All of this is now admitted. Brigade Homeland, everything we've talked about starting to come true because we're going off the source documents. And they're saying, hey, if you believe in a world government run by bankers, you're a terrorist. And the cops are being taught this. Ron Paul stickers. Aaron Russo, Freedom of Fascism, great film, Jewish guy, friend of mine, Against Tyranny. They said that's dangerous, you know, the Southern Poverty Law Center and others did. So it's a total demonization of anybody. They put us in their intelligence reports, their public ones, their private ones. Those have come out. My dad at his dental office gets mailed the intelligence report, as all prominent people, quote, do, and it's how I'm a devil and all this stuff. This is really creepy. No, I'm a human being. You know, I need to be humanized here. And what you say about me is twisted and distorted, and if you do strike me down politically, or if somebody else does, or some crazy guy like the guy listening to Southern Poverty Law Center stuff goes and shoots up the Family Research Council, it doesn't matter. The information will still come out. And the ADL goes after anybody that stands up for the family, decency, sovereignty. I mean, it's just a revolutionary group trying to shut down free speech in this country. And I'll tell you right now, the groups that oppose them are nasty as well and come after me. I mean, I'm attacked by all the Nazi groups, the white supremacist groups, the Klan groups, and then I'm attacked by the ADL. And you know, the federal government and other groups have been caught running the white supremacist groups.
Right.
I said Hal Turner, who used to say I should be, you know, gone after, was FBI. It turned out he was in federal court.
Yep.
So I really now understand more and more it's those Nazi groups are not Nazi groups. It's full spectrum dominance. It's just like the globalists control Al-Qaeda.
Sure.
Well, they these groups control and manipulate these other ones.
They get the extreme on the left and the extreme on the right, and we're all caught in the middle just trying to tell the truth.
Yeah, in fact, we have that clip that they say doesn't exist. Here is a short clip. It's probably like a minute or so of CNBC where we're slaves to international bankers that run a world government. Here it is.
So mostly what they do is hold summits.
I think that right now the question is, do we all work for central bankers? That's what I want to address to our guest tonight. Is this global governance at last? Is it one world, the central bankers in charge? Jim Urio, you say we've got some downside here, a correction in the markets. Fine. But aren't we all just living and dying for what the central banks do? Aren't we all just counting on the fact that there's a Bernanke put and that we won't go any lower than, say, 5% down from here?
Of course we are, because if we look at the economic data, there's nothing to get excited
about. And the Financial Times of London, The Economist, The Washington Post, Time Magazine, we are run by foreign banks, ha, 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 rubbing on our face.
Right.
And then they're like, we're going to shut down your power plant, ship your jobs overseas, break up your families, teach six-year-olds sex period is wrong. And then we're like, hey, we don't want some weird pervert guy teaching six-year-olds how to fist each other. And they're like, oh, well, you're just a homophobe.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's crazy people. I mean, I mean, they've got a method to their madness, but the globalists are nuts. And they're declaring war on anything they don't control. It's a corporate takeover. And I've had enough. So in closing, I don't want to even be in these mindless fights with people. I mean, you make fun of us because we say sodium fluoride's brain-damaging people, sevenfold increase in cancer in people that drink it. That's Harvard studies, just out. Of course, we've known since the 20s. That's why they put it in the water. We know they're chemtrailing us. That's declassified. I mean, our cancer rates are up 3,000%. Pediatric cancers are over 10,000%. Autism, 1 in 25,000. Now it's 1 in 58. I mean, we're dying here. We're under eugenics. Hitler was a spinoff of that, so the Nazis are all mad that I don't like Hitler when he was just a creation of what the globalists made. All this race stuff is nothing but divide and conquer. And the ADL is just another set piece in all of that. But to the Southern Poverty Law Center and the ADL and all the rest of those type groups, I'm tired of what you're doing. And what you're doing is wrong. And you're bringing, you know, bad mojo, whatever you want to call it, on yourself and your families. And I don't mean I'm threatening you. God, the universe, does not like what you're doing. And if you wonder why you're so miserable and why you're so unhappy, it's because you serve evil. You serve evil and people that mindlessly serve a lot of these other groups. I'm not here to judge you, but I'm here to tell you, your works are evil. Your fruits are evil. What you do is evil. And all these groups come after me because they know I'm genuine. My phones are tapped. The government knows I'm real. They try to tell you I'm not real, as Cass Sunstein said, to create cognitive dissonance. Fine, I'm bad. You out there know you're good. So stand up, speak out. And they're afraid of us coming together, different religions, races, colors, creeds, against tyranny, against the foreign banking complex that is incredibly racist. You know, people say, are the Rothschilds at the top of the pyramid? Yeah, but they've joined with the Gothas, the Saxe Coburgs. It's racist and hateful towards everybody. You know, our government paid Israel to irradiate 110,000 children. Many of them died, the ringworm children. Why was Israel killing their own children? Because it's a sacrament of death. They hate everybody. You need to understand that. This is a death cult. This is a group of evil people showing off to each other about how far they'll go. And I'm not even talking about the ADL at that point. I'm talking about the groups above it. And you look at somebody like Abe Foxman. I mean, he just pure ego, arrogant, kind of childlike when you watch him. I mean, I don't hate Abe Foxman. I feel sorry for him. I feel sorry for him because it's a life that is basically a joke. I wrote a few other points here, but in closing, anti-free speech organization, anti-gun organization, anti-liberty, demonizing those of us that know a world government's here, even if it's, as it's all admitted, you're coming after us, you're demonizing us, and I, for one, have had enough of it. I ask listeners to support us, to spread the word about the broadcast, because we're going 110% into the face of this. We need your prayers, and to police and military, in closing, I want to ask all of you to understand that we're being manipulated against each other. The globalists, again, get us all dressed up where you're on one side, we're on the other, and we're now all supposed to fight with each other. We're all supposed to now go out and have a civil war with each other. This ideology of demonizing returning veterans, gun owners, conservatives, libertarians, and patriots is going to massively, massively cause conflict and crisis, because the cops are going to look at patriots as potentially violent. The patriots will see that aggression and get in an aggressive posture, and more fights will ensue, and this will create the civil war the globalists want. So that's it in closing. That's it in a nutshell. That's what we need to avert here. Ask yourselves, why every time there's one of these shootings, do they immediately try to connect it to Infowars.com and what we're doing? That's my basic breakdown on that. We're going to go to the interview now with Director Joel Gilbert with an update on his incredible documentary, Dreams for My Real Father, that I should add is available at InfoWarsShop.com. Thank you, Rob Dew. We'll be right back. Stay with us. It's InfoWars Nightly News. Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals. But the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com. I really enjoy it when the globalists try to poison us, and, we resist them via a free market system. Hello, my fellow info warriors. Alex Jones here, introducing you to the ProPure family of gravity-fed filters. Now, you know that the globalists are filling our water with radioactive isotopes, fluoride, lead, mercury, arsenic. And one of the few systems that can efficiently and economically remove or reduce down to non-detectable levels these poisons are gravity-fed filters. And ProPure is the top of the line. Their filters are impregnated with silver, a natural antibiotic. On top of that, they're bigger, so they filter faster. You don't have to prime these the first time you use them. It's amazing. Go to InfoWars.com and click on the shopping cart link to see the entire family of these babies. Now, the fluoride they add to our water is so tiny that most filters can't cut it out. But ProPure has their system that will, again, reduce it to non-detectable levels, almost get all of it out of there. That's also available. And if you look at the different systems they offer, the ProPure Big Brush Finish is on a stand, so it's easier on a table or at your restaurant or wherever you have it to go up with a glass or a mug and fill it up. Then there's this big baby right here, the ProPure King Large Version. Got a lot of different options that come with it. Also, they have the ProPure Big, probably one of the best values out there. And, of course, it's burnished stainless steel. And then what I use on my RV, something that's great for your hunting cabin or the back porch, is the ProPure Traveler. Small and portable, but packs a huge punch, cleans out all that garbage. They also have a glass sight spigot, so you don't have to take the top off and look in the bottom area to see how much water. You can see how fast it's filtering with this optional system. The globalists obviously are hitting us through our water. It's time to take control of our lives. It's time to not give our children and families these poisons. And these systems cut it down to non-detectable levels across the board. ProPure is the name. I only promote what I believe in. And I use ProPure in my home and my office. And I recommend that you check out the information on ProPure at InfoWars.com. We already have the lowest price at InfoWars.com on the ProPure gravity filter system. But when you add in the 10% off when InfoWarriors use the product code WATER at InfoWars.com, nobody can top it. So again, it's a win-win-win. Stop drinking the poison water. Checkmate the globalists when it comes to your health, and support InfoWars.com and the work we're doing here. You know, many revolutionaries rob banks and things and kidnap people for funds. We promote in the free market the products we use that are about preparedness. That's how we fund this revolution against the New World Order in our move to restore our constitutional republic and a spirit of 1776 worldwide. Check it out at InfoWars.com. ProPure, top of the line, number one, most powerful and effective and economical gravity-fed water system in the world. ProPure, available, discounted at InfoWars.com. Don't forget product code WATER to save 10%. It's the latest generation, years in development. ProPure is the name.
And welcome back to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Rob Dew. And we are now joined by the director of this film, Dreams from My Real Father, which goes through not really the birth certificate issue, but the fact that we don't even know who Obama's father real is, or who his real father is. But Joel Gilbert makes some really amazing claims in here that his father is Frank Marshall Davis, the renowned communist writer. So we now welcome to the show, Joel Gilbert. Joel, how are you doing today?
Hey, thanks for having me tonight.
Well, you contacted me last week saying you guys are going to have some big breaking news coming up, and it's on your website now, which is obamasrealfather.com. And why don't you go through that? It's going to premiere on WorldNet Daily in a couple hours. Why don't you just take us through that?
Sure. Well, in addition to the film came out a few months ago, we've been shipping it, and it's been on Amazon official release since July 24. But my investigation has continued, and I've received a lot of additional information. The premise of the film, of course, is documenting, presenting evidence that the Kenyan father that Barack Obama sold himself to America on this idea that he was the multicultural ideal because his father was a goat herder from Kenya, and therefore he would bring people together. We've proven this in the film, Dreams of My Real Father, to be false. The evidence shows that Obama has a deeply disturbing family background, that his real father was Frank Marshall Davis, the Communist Party USA propagandist and former Soviet agent who raised and indoctrinated Obama by his own admission from age 9 to 18. And the Kenyan was simply a sham marriage to cover this up. Obama found out about it as a child and then used this in his political career to hide his Marxist political foundation. So the new information that came out of Hawaii and also from some archives is twofold. Number one, we have from the Honolulu Police Department archives that I obtained from retired Honolulu Police Department detectives is a photo of Frank Marshall Davis's house from 1952 that was raided in a vice squad raid because it was engaging in vice activities. They arrested a number of sailors there. Davis called it the Negro Elks Club. That was the club that was being run there at the time. And there were a number of arrests. And this shows a history of very seedy activity going on at that house and the likely involvement of Davis in this type of activity. Next, we have new letters written by Davis in his own handwriting that emerged from archives regarding the book called Sex Rebel Black. He wrote a book widely acknowledged under a pseudonym of Bob Green, detailing 30 years of nefarious activities in Hawaii, numerous affairs with underage children under the age of 17, 18. Now, in that book, of course, there's five or six pages detailing an affair with a girl named Anne. It goes into great detail, and we think and have always thought that this was probably Anne Dunham, Obama's mother, and this helped to chronicle the intimate relationship between Obama's mother and Davis. In addition to that, we have a number of photos that Davis took of Anne Dunham that came out in men's magazines, and some of those are in the film, and a lot of them are on the website as well. She took these Betty Page type of photos. So we have evidence of the intimate relationship between Davis and Obama's mother. And then, of course, from age 9 to 18, we have Davis playing a major role in Obama's life, helping to raise him. We think those were all parental visits and that obviously Obama was indoctrinated into this Marxist ideology. And that's how he showed up at age 18 at Occidental College, admittedly as a committed revolutionary Marxist. But in the new letters that just came out, Davis admits in his own handwriting that, number one, he was the author of Sex Rebel Black. Number two, he says it's a completely autobiographical and all nonfiction. So this is confirmed in his own handwriting because some of Obama's supporters have tried to maintain that this book was somehow fictional. But now we have Davis actually confirming in his own handwriting that it is an autobiography, and that lends further support to the idea that the girl described as Anne is likely Anne Dunham, and we have all the photos as well to back that up.
And he also mentions that she's the Anne from an Anne from Seattle, correct? Is that
correct? Is Anne from Seattle? He talks about the family from Seattle. It's just one more in the chain of evidence to show that there was very likely an intimate relationship between Davis and Obama's mother, and then the fact that Obama was raised by Davis from age 9 really helps put it all together. We know that Kenyon was not the real father. All of Obama's story from his book, Dreams from My Father, has been proven to be false. Obama claims that when he was 3 years old, that Kenyon went to Harvard, and that's what broke up the family of improbable love. And Obama, you know, sold himself to America on this whole concept. In fact, his mother went to the University of Washington in Seattle 3 weeks after Obama was born, while the Kenyan remained in Hawaii. Now, the reason I always call him the Kenyan is because when people say Barack Obama Sr., I say that's not true. There was no Obama Sr. because there was no Obama Jr. They intentionally called Barack Obama the Second, which means another person. If it was Junior, that would be son of, and then we'd have a senior. Mm-hmm. So we have a Kenyan foreign exchange student that was agreed to the sham marriage to cover up this illicit affair, which everyone benefited from. Anne Dunham had a legitimate child. The Kenyan applied for a work permit and to extend his visa for a PhD. Now, if he was really the father, he would have just applied for a green card and citizenship if he was really wanted to be married to this woman. But he had, of course, a wife and two children in Kenya. And when he first applied for this extension of his visa, even the INS didn't think it was real. They questioned it. But he did get the temporary benefit. Frank Marshall Davis was able to hide this from his wife. He was married with five children. So it benefited everyone at the time. The evidence shows from Obama's own writing, he said that he found his birth certificate when he was 12 years old. So that indicates he obviously knew about this. And in his adult life, he tried very hard to cover up the existence and relationship to Davis, because once the biological connection is established, it would then make you look at the ideological connection, how Davis became Obama's ideological father and gave him a Marxist political foundation. So my film, Dreams from My Real Father, shows that Obama really has been pursuing the dreams from his real father, who is a Marxist ideologue and Soviet agent, rather than the dreams of a Kenyan goat herder. And that's how Obama misdirected everyone away from this very, very dark reality and this deeply disturbing family background, which would reveal his true plans for America.
Well, and on top of that, if you look at the video, I mean, the first 15 minutes, it shows pictures of Davis, pictures of Obama. These guys look almost exactly alike. They have the same type of nose until Obama got his nose fixed. They have the same type of mannerisms, the same type of skull shape. They speak in the same type of cadence. So you can tell that that Obama definitely has connection to Frank Marshall Davis. And beyond that, the pictures you show of the lady that we think is his mother in the movie, she's on the same couch that Davis is later doing interviews on later. So there's definitely connections there that cannot be overlooked at this point.
Yeah, I've been in the house. I've established all the connection between the mother and Davis. And it's clear that when Obama referred to Davis 22 times in his autobiography, Dreams from My Father, he refers to him, it's 2,500 words, over three continents, over three decades. He's always talking about Frank and how much Frank influenced him. And what's interesting is the audio book that came out only in 2005. Remember, Dreams from My Father, 1995. He's thinking of running for mayor of Chicago one day. 2005, he's running for Senate, probably thinking of running for president. And Obama himself is the voiceover narrator for the audio book of Dreams from My Father. And guess what? Frank Marshall Davis is completely wiped out. Frank is removed. Every single reference to Frank is gone. So this is a pattern of document forgery, document manipulation, to remove Obama's connection to Frank Marshall Davis. I showed a few weeks ago, we spoke with Alex on the website, we had a breaking news page of this mysterious black hand of Frank Marshall Davis that they accidentally left in a childhood photo of Obama, and they photoshopped in his mother. So his mother is a thin white female, and she has the hand of a black male, very obvious, and we compared it to Davis, and it looks a lot like Davis's hand, but it's not Ann Dunham's hand. So people talk about the birth certificate recently. Mm-hmm. They showed how my information was also that they did not put a father when Obama was born. It was left blank, father unknown. And the sheriff's office confirmed that they had also come to that conclusion. So Obama has engaged in a pattern of document forgery to hide his deep ideological and biological connection to Frank Marshall Davis, which the American people, were they given this knowledge, would have found Obama unacceptable. So this is the misdirection he's been engaged in for several years. And it's time for the media and everyone to demand that Obama come clean, tell what his political foundations are, tell the real story of his family background, not this false story that he's been promoting, and talk about his real agenda for America, which I believe is the deadly Marxist dreams of Frank Marshall Davis.
Right. Yeah, you're not claiming this. All you're doing is taking Obama's words from his book, Dreams of My Real Father, where he mentions Frank all those number of times, covering over 2,500 pages of text. And he's mentioning this guy, how he's always getting advice from him. He's getting nurtured. So not only is he a biological father, as you claim, to a communist, he's also being mentored by this guy heavily. But he wants to hide it so much, he doesn't mention him in the audiobook. And I would ask people to go out there and get that audiobook and try to find. There's an instance where you say where he mentions he's out with three people in the book, and one of them's Frank, and in the audiobook, he just admits Frank's name.
Yeah, Frank's name is omitted in large sections and small sections. Everywhere Frank is removed. Now, don't forget, Frank is one of the main characters of the book. That's the guy he mentions more than anyone, and they remove him. So Obama has been trying very hard, using lies, misdirection, anything, to hide his relationship to Davis, because if he had to tell the truth about it, then all this Marxist rhetoric that we hear from Obama, the top 1% are oppressing everybody. The rich don't pay their fair share. If you have a business, you didn't build it. Mm-hmm. This is the classic Marxist rhetoric that Davis learned in Chicago in the 30s and would have taught Obama that there are some evil straw man who's preventing the masses from succeeding, that's keeping them down, and that the masses can never have upward mobility. They're stuck here because of evil straw men. That's the rhetoric that people would tie together and say, wait a minute, this is insane talk from rantings of, early 1900s, Lenin and Marx and these guys. It's not appropriate. It doesn't fit the reality of America. In America, you can work, you can get a job, you can start a business, you can be successful, just like Obama has, just like Michelle Obama has. But they have to tell you a false narrative. They have to say you can't buy food, you can't get a loan, you can't go to school, life is impossible. They create this, tell the people that everything is impossible.
Only government can provide you the milk. You know, pray to Chavez and the milk will appear. We had a guy, one of our IT guys here says they actually do this in the schools with Chavez. They say, pray for milk, pray to God for milk, and milk doesn't appear. And they say, pray to Chavez for milk. Suddenly the milk appears. And I can't think of one place that communism has worked for the little guy where it's supposedly going to always help the little guy. But I can't name one instance where it has helped the little guy. It only helps those elites way up in the top, and those business owners way up in the top who are oppressing people anyway, and they're never going to be working towards, you know, humanity as a common goal.
Well, Obama has a false narrative, and that's what's so dangerous. It's demagogic that you can say to people that the rich people don't pay their fair share. Now, he knows this is not true because we have a progressive tax system. The upper income levels pay 35, 38, up to 40% plus their property tax, everything else. Whereas the lower you go, you pay less and less or pay nothing. So when you promote your campaign on a lie, anyone can Google this and find out that the rich do pay more than their fair share. But it's demagoguery to go around saying such a thing. He also claims that wants to help middle class families. But the reality is that socialist economies do not have a middle class.
Right.
The middle class is eliminated. It's destroyed because their employers are hounded and taxed out of business. The middle class's health care will be given away to poor and illegals. And the middle class retirement will evaporate into a bankrupt socialist state. And we'll be left with one lower class, as is the history of Marxism and socialism, one big lower impoverished class and a political elites that control the wealth.
And in between that, you have your brute class. You have the oppressors, you have the police arms, you have the Pol Pots that are sending out their minions to basically keep people working in the fields, maintain the slavery, go after anybody who might look intelligent. And that's what communism leads to. It leads to mass death and genocide in the end.
Well, you don't have to look very far. You can look at the history of East and West Germany, North and South Korea, two very similar ethnically historic societies that were divided between free market and communism and Marxism. And the results are that in one society, it led to economic ruin and physical destruction of the people. In the other society, the free markets led to prosperity and wealth expansion. So this is not a new science that we have to figure out if the Marxist model is going to work in America. We know it's inappropriate. We know it doesn't work. We know it's disastrous. But my film, Dreams for My Father, unravels the whole Obama story because he has spent years misdirecting people that he's a uniter who's going to bring people together because his father was a goat herder, and therefore he's going to be this great savior. Well, in fact, people voted for him because they said, well, he has an inspiring family story. I want to vote for this guy. And they liked that Obama background story. But the reality is he has a deeply, deeply disturbing family background of a father who was a Communist Party propagandist, a Soviet agent, and a Marxist who indoctrinated Obama. And his mother was involved with Davis, and he's hidden this as well. So more and more people are seeing this film, and we thank Infowars.com, and people should go to their website to purchase the film. And please watch this, and you'll understand the whole history. Everybody says, finally, you put the pieces together, and we can understand that when Obama says fundamentally transforming America, he means eliminating the middle class and holding on to power for a Marxist elite.
Right. Now let's go into some of the, I guess, the media blackout that has accompanied your film, because you would think people would want to go, hey, let's at least vet this information. Let's put it out there. Let's look at it, and let's make, you know, some educated decisions for ourselves. But what we're seeing, you know, total media blackout. I don't find your stuff anywhere except on WorldNet Daily, maybe a couple other conservative websites, Infowars.com. You were actually at the press club in D.C. giving a speech. How well did that go? I mean, you were telling people, look, you got a Pulitzer right here if you just put out this information.
Exactly. I was at the National Press Club. I addressed the mainstream media. They were there, Washington Post, Newsweek. A lot of these guys were all there. And I reminded them of something called the journalist creed. Journalist creed is like the Hippocratic Oath for journalists. It says that journalists must be fair, they're trustees for the public, that there's a single standard of truth, that suppression of the news is indefensible. So I read them their own journalist creed, which was written on the wall in the lobby in bronze, and I explained that if all the doctors decided not to pay attention to the Hippocratic Oath, everybody would get sick. So I said that because they are not adhering to the journalist creed of honesty, that we're all becoming infected with Marxism, that they are suppressing the news and they've been defending Obama's false narrative. And it was inexcusable and indefensible that the public looks to the media to report the truth. And if they don't hear the truth, they assume that what Obama is telling them must be true. So this is why it's so important for the media to be an independent force, unafraid to tell the truth. Unfortunately, the media has become corrupt. They've become ideologically connected to the administration, or they may just be somehow too embarrassed to admit how badly they didn't do their job before, and maybe it's too hard for them to admit. Whatever their motivation, it is indefensible, and I told them this at the National Press Club, and you can see my press conference as well on the Obama'sRealFather.com website.
Right. And so what's going on in Ohio? You guys have basically bought a bunch of these copies that you're giving out to these swing states, Ohio being one of them. Tell us about your plan there, where you're trying to get the movie into the hands of people before this election.
Well, we did send out several hundred thousand copies nationwide, including Ohio, to try to, as a really publicity measure, to try to get people on the street, on the ground, as Obama says, from the ground up, from the bottom up, to start talking about the film and calling their media and talking to the representatives about this shocking information. It should be the number one Pulitzer Prize winning story of the young century, like Watergate. You know, it's like, oh my God, this guy told us he was somebody else and we voted for him. So several hundred thousand have gone out. We've sold many thousands, and we're hoping, obviously, to sell many more. In InfoWars, you can buy the DVD. And we've gotten tremendous response, and typically when someone sees the film, they want to show it to someone else. So it is a shocking narrative that the First Amendment, where there's free speech and people can publish and talk about what they want, is being suppressed. we put out an ad. We wanted to put an ad in the, I'll show it to you for the, this is for the, this is a newspaper full page ad. I'm showing it to you there. Full page ad for, USA Today, Washington Post, or New York Times. All three refused to publish this advertisement.
Wow.
We had cash money in advance, you know, Obama deception unmasked, Obama's real father, and the whole advertisement. We're going to put this up on our website soon, but all three of these so-called bastions of American free press, the Washington Post that uncovered Watergate, the New York Times, USA Today, America's national newspaper, suppresses the truth, as does Newsmax, Newsmax.com. We paid for an advertising banner email campaign with Newsmax. They canceled it at the last second. We said, why'd you cancel it? They said, well, we don't want to be seen as conservative. We want to move to the center. We're trying to get the audience from the center. So I told the guy at from Washington Post at the press club, I said to him, did you know why Newsweek is not at this press conference? He said, why? I said, well, they're going out of business. They no longer have a magazine. And Drudge Report is number one, and Newsmax is going out of business because Newsmax, for example, would not publish the Monica Lewinsky information.
You mean Newsweek, not Newsmax.
I'm sorry, Newsmax.
Yeah. Yeah.
Newsweek magazine had the information on Monica Lewinsky, refused to publish it.
Right.
Drudge did publish it. Today, Drudge is number one. Newsweek is out of business.
And that's how a lot of people discovered Drudge, just by him having the cojones to put that information out there, you know, win, lose, or draw, whatever it was, at least he put it out there and let us decide how we feel about it.
Well, that's the very definition of journalism. I mean, it doesn't take, people write me emails and say, you've got a lot of guts. I said, it doesn't take much guts just to tell the truth.
Yeah.
Your information, since when did telling the truth and reporting the news for people to look at and consider, since when did that become so difficult and so hard to do? Well, I can tell you that with, you know, USA Today, Washington Post, New York Times, Newsmax, they will not print this information. They won't allow it to be seen by the public. They're engaged in censorship rather than giving information. And I think all those publications are in trouble if they don't allow the news to reach the public.
Well, there was a quote, and this is on a Time magazine, and it's a quote of a CIA director. I can't remember his name right offhand, but he said, anybody in the media of any significance is owned by the CIA. And that just says it right there, and they're protecting their boy, and they're never going to show this stuff. This is something that blows, because the birth certificate is something they could say, well, you know, we could poke holes at this and we could all play these word games and we'll never know the truth because they're never going to open up these records. But what you're uncovering now, it goes way beyond the birth certificate. It really digs into who this man is and who his ideological and biological father are. And it's an amazing film. I've seen it twice already and each time I get more out of it because you catch those things that you didn't catch the first time and it just, you know, it really blows me away. So what are you guys going to be doing in the future with Dreams for My Real Father?
Well, we're starting to set up some screenings around the country. I'm continuing to talk about it on the news and radio as much as possible every day. I'm continuing my investigation. I've got several lines of inquiry still going on that are being released as breaking news items on the website. And we're just going to keep telling the truth and letting people know that Obama should be voted for this time on his merits of who he really is, not on his false story of this Kenyan goat herder, and he's a guy that'll bring people together. It's a very different reality, and the gap between Obama's public narrative and the reality is very, very big. And the news media's job is to tell us the truth so that we know who he is, and I did this job for them. And anyone can see the film, and as I told them, the Pulitzer Prize can be yours.
Yeah. You put it on a silver platter. I mean, it's a slam dunk if somebody publishes this on a mainstream media outlet because I think they're definitely afraid to. There would be some hardcore tyranny raining down on whoever does publish this in the mainstream realm, but I got to hand it to you. It is a great film, and I think everybody needs to go to InfoWarsShop.com, get a copy, have your own screening, pass it out to people. You don't necessarily tell people to make copies of it, but how do you feel about them showing it on Access Television? You just want them to contact you?
Yeah, they have to contact us for each market so we can coordinate it to get permission. We're also doing some screenings of our own around the country. We have people hosting screenings. So we coordinate everything from obamasrealfather.com.
Okay, obamasrealfather.com. And how big is this is getting? How big are the grassroots? How many people are coming to you saying we want to show this? I mean, in your estimation.
We have several hundred requests. A lot of screening events are between 30 and 80 people, it seems like, with a couple around 100. Doing a public screening in a theater, we have a few people arranging those as we speak, but it seems to be a real grassroots thing of small groups of people that will watch it together and then order more DVDs and then go and do another group. It's just amazing the amount of people that are getting in on it because they know that the mainstream media will not report anything negative about Barack Obama. And that is just unjustifiable suppression of the news. And I thank you folks for having me on.
Well, we surely appreciate you having you on. It's, these are like little seeds, you know, that you plant out there. Each one of these little DVDs, and that's the beautiful thing about a DVD. You can just scatter them to the winds. People will take a look at this and go, wait a minute. This guy, you just got to look at the cover. And you go, wow, Barack looks exactly like this other dude. He doesn't even look like Barack Obama the first. And I mean, it really is an amazing film. So I'd encourage people to go and get it. Joel, do you have anything else you want to add?
Please stay tuned to our website and keep checking Infowars.com as well. We're going to have continuing developments and breaking news all the way through the end of the year. And I want to tell everybody how much I appreciate all their emails of support. And just let's keep the grassroots information network going because the mainstream media is nothing but a useless reality show.
Totally agree. Joel Gilbert, thank you very much for coming on the show today. I'll tell you what, this is a seed right here. You plant this, it's going to grow. People are going to see it. People are going to wake up because, you know, a lot of people were duped. A lot of people bought into the narrative, and the mainstream media was just so happy to run with that narrative of him being the son of a Kenyan goat herder. And we now know, I mean, you watch the film. It's all there. You see his mom in these provocative poses on a couch that Frank Marshall Davis is later giving interviews on. You get to see the writings of Frank Marshall Davis. I mean, this man is scary. He wants to take all the money from the middle class and give it basically to the elites while everybody else lives in squalor. That to him is a perfect system because he would be one of the guys, from being a general in this, he would be one of the guys on the top. So he would like nothing more than to see the destruction of the United States as we know it. So get a copy. It's Dreams from My Real Father. It's on InfoWarsShop.com. We've got at least over 1,500 of these left in stock. I just checked with the guys today. So get your copy now. Get it out there. Let's make some change happen for the better in our own political paradigm here. And we got it on sale for $14.95. You know, I don't know what more else to say. This is a seed, and it needs to be planted. So plant it in your DVD. Have some viewing parties. Let's start waking some people up, especially your Democratic friends who try to believe they're good-hearted. They really want to believe that, you know, our first black president's a good guy. But unfortunately, we were sold a bunch of lies. So with that, we're going to sign off for tonight. We'll be back tomorrow. Alex promises he'll be doing the show 3 days this week. So we'll have at least Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Alex Jones in studio taking over the reins for the InfoWars Nightly News. And with that, I'm Rob Dew, your host for tonight, and we'll see you next time.